Maybe you noticed a new noise in your car or saw the check engine light go on, and you called your regular repair place, only to be told that they could not fit you in until sometime next week. In some cases, the reason for the delay is a shortage of mechanics, or as their employers seem to prefer, automotive techs. By some counts, there are thousands of car repair positions going unfilled around the country. Normally, our squeaky wheel segment talks about cars and their issues. This time, we'll talk about the people who address those issues, the automotive techs. Zach Edwards is the proprietor of Ashland Automotive and our monthly guest on the squeaky wheel. Good to see you again, Zach.
Good to see you. Thanks.
So talk about your own experience first. How hard is it to find a new tech?
It's pretty challenging. We are constantly on the lookout, and even when we don't have positions open, we're always looking to meet and talk to outstanding technicians in the field, and because you never know when things are going to change and people's life circumstances change, and then all of a sudden you need to fill a position, and so I'm always on the lookout.
What's the general pay range for automotive techs, at least in our part of the world?
The Rogue Valley is a unique place to work, as I'm sure all your listeners are aware. It's the one thing I should say before we talk about that is that you'll never not have a job if you're an automotive technician. You, especially if you're a good one, you could probably find a job or 3 to 5 jobs before lunch today if you just went and stopped in at shop. So
wow.
That being said, it's a very competitive marketplace, and the pay ranges in the Rogue Valley. There are technicians in the Rogue Valley that can make $100,000 a year if they work hard, put in some extra time every week. They're probably going to be working overtime,
mm-hmm.
But if they have the right tools, the right know-how, and the right work ethic, they're going to make upwards of $100,000 a year or surpass $100,000 a year, starting on the low end if you're fresh out of school, but you are educated and you have kind of the foundation and you have some tools. You're going to start out really at a basic apprentice type level of pay, probably $30,000 to $35,000 a year. And so experience in this field is really pays for itself.
So when you come in, not just with tools, but with the knowledge of how to use them, that really sets you a little higher up the scale.
Yep.
So let's talk about the schooling then, because this appears to be something of an issue too. I mean, where do people go to get trained if they don't have experience in the first place? I mean, where are they going to get? I mean, they can work on their own cars and stuff, but that doesn't really translate well when you're looking for a job. Saying, "Well, I worked on this car here."
Right. Yeah. So a great place to start would be a community college program. If you haven't,
you did that yourself, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So first, my experience was I started working on my own car, which is how a lot of the technicians start. There's a fascination with how things work. They start tinkering with their car. They maybe take a high school shop class. Then they take, one or two more shop classes. And at that point, that's all the classes offered by the high school program, which, by the way, high school shop class programs are closing at an alarming rate all across the country. So after you've taken a couple high school shop classes, you might then go to the community college, or some guys might elect to just go straight out and try and get a job, changing oil at a dealership or changing oil at a quick lube place. And then if an employer recognizes the qualities that they need to be seeing in a potential future technician, then maybe that kid or young man will get some more responsibilities handed off to him, and then you're starting your way through the apprenticeship program. And it's really not an official apprenticeship program. And
that was the next question.
Yeah, I've read there's lots of information on this, and as shop owners struggle, there's more and more information being written, and we read these things and we talk about these things at meetings, and some dealerships are now adopting their own intensive apprenticeship programs because they're struggling so much to try and find technicians. And so BMW and Chrysler, Fiat are kind of pioneering these apprenticeship programs. And in the case of Chrysler, I believe they're bringing back an apprenticeship program, which they started in the 80s, and then it kind of it went by the wayside, and now they're reinventing it and tuning it up and looking to hire. I think I read maybe 5,000 people in 2017 and 2018, and they just hired 5,000 people in the 2 years before that, just technicians.
I noticed the BMW training program opening its own training center, really, for technicians. I mean, it's like a go away to school kind of thing for these folks. Yeah, but the numbers I noticed too that came with this, piece in the New York Times, 25,000 shortage in technicians for the dealers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm on the advisory board for the automotive program at Rogue Community College in Grants Pass, and the advisory board is just comprised of shop owners in the Rogue Valley, and then high school shop teachers. But at the last meeting, which I believe was in April this year, when asked, you know, raise your hand if your shop is looking for technicians, virtually every single shop is looking. So, and I think that's indicative of shops across the country. I mean, every single shop is looking. So there's just a great opportunity for young men or young women who want to have a career and engage their mind. It's an opportunity to really work with your hands, but also, you know, engage your intellectual mind. With the amount of electronics in cars, it's just staggering how complex they are. So there's two components. It used to be that you just had to be pretty good with your hands, and it was really obvious what was leaking, or it was really obvious why the car wasn't running, because there was only two or three things it could be.
Right.
Now it's, you know, 200 or 300 things that it could be, and you have to really put a lot of pieces together and have a lot of creative problem-solving skills at play in order to be successful.
And the car can tell you as well, but that's a whole other set of issues where you've got to figure out if it's the sensor giving you the correct information or something else with the computer system. Zach Edwards is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the proprietor at Ashland Automotive and our monthly guest for the Squeaky Wheel, where we talk about cars, but this time we're talking about the people who repair cars and the great shortage of them across the country. Join the conversation on the Exchange. If you had trouble getting a repair slot at your local repair joint, join us on the Exchange to share your story at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I'd imagine there's probably as with so many other things with the baby boomers who are now retiring en masse, you're probably losing a fair number of technicians that way too.
Yeah. One article I read, it was really fascinating, talked about the motivating factors for getting into the industry in the first place, according to, you know, what the data they think is true. And so they think that the reason so many men got into the field in the 60s and 70s, and there was such a surplus of mechanics back then, is that, you know, it was a cool thing to do would be to work on your car. And so a lot of guys just started working on their car, and cars represented freedom. And so, you know, in high school, a lot of people, young men mostly, they wanted a car so that they could be with their friends. They wanted to be able to drive and hang out and do things and get away from their folks. And it was a representation of freedom. And ironically, the average age of a new driver now, I think, is 21. Mm-hmm. In the United States. I mean, people are not getting their driver's license anymore. And so the reason they think that is because of cell phones. Kids get that same freedom that they thought or that they used to get from a car. They get that with their phone now. They can hang out with their friends on their phone. They don't need to leave the house. They don't need to have transportation. And so it's kind of strange. And young men, obviously, if there are young boys out there that are tuning their cars, and you see these kind of rat rods out there, or a lot of BMW, 3 Series BMWs with roll cages inside and wide wheels, and that's a great thing. I know that sometimes the cars are loud, and you wonder if they're safe on the road. But I look at that and I think, you know, that's a young man who's putting his skills to work, and he's dabbling in this industry. And those are the guys that are going to turn into the technicians, because even though cars are so computerized, a technician is not going to be a technician if he can't use his hands and can't combine the two, you know, the hand and the mind. And so it's just, there's a lot fewer of them, I think. But that's kind of what happened in the 60s and 70s. And then as cars got more and more complex, and then the cell phones come into play, a mixture of things, has just greatly reduced the number of people even interested in working on cars. And I think it's kind of daunting to a young person who's thinking about looking at, you know, doing a little home or home repair on their car. They pop the hood and just think, oh my gosh, I don't even know where to start.
Like, right. Well, yeah, it's like anybody who grew up with driving cars in the 60s and 70s, as I did. You open a hood now, and it's like, oh my God, what's all this spaghetti under here?
Yeah.
All these wires and tubes. Making myself sound old here, I know. So you were talking about the shop classes, though, and it's good to hear that this advisory board you're on for Rogue Community College, you actually get to talk to shop teachers on a regular basis, but your perception is that the programs are definitely in decline.
Yeah, there's a lot of, and I don't understand completely like the funding aspects of high school programs, but I know and I've heard firsthand from a lot of shop teachers that there's no money available. And it used to be that there was a lot more money available. And so I think I hear them talk a lot about Perkins funding. And I'm not that aware of how that all works, but I think that's where a lot of shop programs are getting their money. And, you know, the equipment nowadays is very, very expensive. And so, if anything, high school shop programs need a lot more money than they used to need in order to be able to keep up. And they're not getting that. And so what's happening, I think, is that the shop classes being offered are, they're changing their direction and what they're trying to offer these kids. And so I work with a couple shop teachers closely in the Rogue Valley, and I can see that they're trying to offer these kids a creative outlet, trying to offer them an opportunity to work with their hands and get to know, even if it's just small engines like lawnmower engines and, you know, generator engines, and then, you know, cars and diesels. But they're struggling because a lot of the kids they have an interest in working on the cars, but they don't really have an interest in going to work on cars.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
So they want the car fixed, but they don't necessarily want to spend the time.
Yeah, they're working on their own cars, mm-hmm. and they're maybe making a race car to take out to the track, but they don't, according to the information I'm getting, they don't necessarily want to take it on to becoming a career or a job, at least not yet. And I'm not giving up on them by any means. I think that just letting these kids have that opportunity is a great first step, and then they go out into the real world, and I'm talking about high school kids, they go out into the real world and they work for a while, and maybe they go and get a 4-year degree, maybe they don't, but they might have something really strong to fall back on and think after a couple years of being out there, hey, you know, I could be really happy working on cars. And as the cars become more electrified, it's going to be a cleaner job. I think that we're all really welcoming. And I'm speaking for my staff, and I, you know, they might get upset with me when I get back there, but I think everyone's really going to welcome the reduction in internal combustion engines, because as long as the cars are still rolling down the road, there's going to be lots of things that need to be repaired. The cost of repair is just going to go up, I think, for the consumer. It's just going to be more and more expensive, and so preventative maintenance is going to be more and more worthwhile. People will be more proactive with taking care of their cars as the cost of repairs skyrocket. And that's going to drive the labor market as well. So the technician is going to earn more and more money because the skill set required is just, it's immense.
And just to give an idea of where we stand in the world, I mean, it was Volvo that announced just last week that starting in 2019, all of its cars will contain electric motors.
Yep.
I mean, some just electric motors, some electric and gas as well. But the world is definitely changing, as we're talking with Zach Edwards here on the Squeaky Wheel. So we mentioned that that BMW and Chrysler are starting up programs where they're training their own techs for their dealerships and stuff. You came out of community college. You think other people come out of community college as well? I mean, will you ever hire somebody who has a good tool set and they've worked on their own car? Does it ever get to that, or do you need more experience than that with other people's cars?
Yeah, no, I mean, we don't hire people that don't have experience. And if a guy had, or a girl had, and I always say a guy because the industry is just so dominated by men.
Still.
There have been a couple women that have gone through the program at Rogue Community College, and I think maybe only one that I know of is actually in the shop working on cars. A lot of those women take those skill sets that they've learned and then become service advisors because it's so valuable to have the mechanical knowledge and then take that to the front counter and communicate with customers. But we require a fair amount of experience. And if a kid had gone to school but didn't have any experience, mm-hmm. that would count for something in my eyes. But he would still, or she would still start as an apprentice. I mean, the hands-on experience is so tremendously necessary. You just can't get around it.
So how long do you recommend for an apprenticeship? How long for somebody to sort of be the other, the second wrench rather than the first on any project?
Yeah, we always tell young guys that, you know, you gotta be thinking 2 or 3 years down the road before you're ever going to really feel happy with the income that you're making. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, the first 2 or 3 years, you should just view it as, you know, earn what you can. Might feel like a stipend, but, you know, have to really view that as an internship or an apprenticeship. And there's going to be a lot of frustration. So just know what to expect going into it. Keep an open mind. Know you're in a learning environment. And we try really hard to create that, a positive learning environment if there was a young guy at our workplace. And I'm thinking of one, you know, we have a great young technician who started sweeping floors at our shop and was like a janitor position, and he went through the program at RCC and he did a great job, and then he started working full time and he's been there 2 years and he's a great technician. He's totally kicking butt, and but he's a hard working guy and he's really approached it with the right attitude, and he's doing a great job. So I would encourage anybody who's interested to, you know, talk to the call RCC and talk to the instructors
there.
Do they
have slots open there? I mean, are they going wanting for some students there?
Yeah, the program, you know, got pretty filled up with displaced mill workers and other, you know, NAFTA type of funding. So the program, it can be competitive to get into it. Mm-hmm. They've been pretty full in the past, but I think they're starting to open up because they're starting to scrutinize a little bit more about who they're going to let in to make sure that they're going to be employable when they get out.
So the short version is we're not going to get the shortage of mechanics taken care of overnight, but working on it, obviously.
Yeah.
Zach Edwards is the proprietor of Ashland Automotive and our monthly guest for the Squeaky Wheel. Good to see you.
You too. Thanks, Jeff.